Hey, everybody. It's Weird Islanders, the podcast, back once again. My name is Dan. That is Mike. How do we find you on this evening, Mike?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm pretty excited about this this Weird Islander, someone who I thought was going to get claimed, you know, pretty quickly, because he does get mentioned quite a bit as a lot of times when we do players, they have some sort of profile around the league. Mm-hmm. And the angle is that, oh wow, I can't believe that Brian Ralston was an Islander. That completely, you know, slipped my mind that Brian Ralston was an Islander, or you know, Thomas Vanek was an Islander, Ryan Smith was an Islander. But this guy, he was an NHLer. He had a, you know, decent career, but I would say his profile around the league is, I don't think anybody, this guy is like so far down the list in terms of relevant, impactful NHLers, but his name comes up so often on Islanders Anxiety, and he's got like a little bit of a cult status as a tongue-in-cheek all-star, maybe, is a good way to put him, for a couple of reasons, which we'll get into. So this is going to be a fun episode with a great guest.
Yeah, this will be a lot of fun. And yeah, this player is sort of a poster child for, well, let's just say free agency signings that may or may not have disappointed. So that's usually the reason his name comes up. But it is a great pick. And
yeah, our guest, you know what it was? His expectations were so low, and he didn't come close to even.
Yes, the low bar that wasn't even cleared. We got to love that. Nothing says Islanders more than that. We do have a great guest. He is an award-winning producer, director, and podcaster who podcasts about dad life. And maybe he's won an award for being a dad, too. We're going to talk to him. His name is Tyler Gilden. Tyler, how are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me on. I'm really excited.
No, thank you for coming on. You are a huge Islanders fan. You've followed Mike and I for a long time. We've wanted to get you on for a long time, so it's great to get you on. You have an extensive resume in commercial filmmaking and short filmmaking. We'll talk about that in a second, too. How do you work your Islanders fandom into these things? Is there like an ethos that you follow that maybe you learn from the team, or you try and sneak the logo into the background of certain shots and maybe people haven't noticed yet? How do you carry the Islanders with you on your creative projects?
So that's funny, because I definitely, you know, one of my main directors of photography is actually a big Penguins fan. And that sometimes will irk me a bit, because he has on his camera, he has a Penguin sticker on it, and I'm always like trying to move it out of the way, or like drop it down, or if I'm taking a BTS shot, I'll put like an emoji over it. But yeah, I wear a hat 9 out of 10 days a week, so I'm always wearing a hat, but usually it's an Islander hat. But what I've been doing about 2 months ago, so my life is hard drives, you know, every shoot we're on, we're dumping footage and you know, several terabytes. And so now I've named every hard drive I have after some of my favorite Islanders. So that has been fun. So like, I have like the Zygmunt Palfy, I have the Surkowski, which I was so stoked when I saw Surkowski was at opening night. I literally wanted to find him to show him my hard drive Rolodex and be like, dude, I literally have clips from commercials with a drive with your name on it. And he would have just been extremely weirded out by that. But I have a red drive. So it's the Yashin. I got, I got Bates. I got Blake. I got the Mark Parrish drive. So it's just funny, because even when I actually dropped it off at a post-production house and they were giving it back to me, and they were like, oh yeah, I have they couldn't pronounce Surkowski. Like, I have the Kazurski and Okposo drive for you. And I was like, those are actually players who are on the Islanders who I really like. And the guy was just like, oh, I had no idea. I just thought, exactly. What's an Islander?
Right. Well, I was going to say, like, has anybody ever been like, Surkowski, I've never heard of this brand of hard drive. Where is this from? Where did you get this? Is this European? Well, kind of, a little bit.
Exactly. Yeah, it's a Polish hard drive. It's super loyal, and you know, it really, you have a very low bar expectation, so it always exceeds it.
Right, and it still looks great after all these years, as well as Mike and I talk about all the time. So your podcast, Father Material, is all about you and your two kids who are both under 4. How have you kind of, well, I should say this, like, I mean, I have, I'm looking at stuff right now over my desk where my, of what my daughter made when she was around that age. And she wrote, "You are a true Islander." And I don't even know how she spelled Islander here. It's I-L-E-N-D-E-R. It's close enough, I guess, for when she's three or four. Are they conscious of how big a fan you are of this team and, like, you know, how big a part of your life this team is as well as them?
No, I mean, my son, definitely. I try and incorporate him. He went to his first game last season. This season, now there's, I mean, last season, unfortunately, there was literally, I think, one day game, which was absurd. So this year, there's a couple of day games, which is great. Plus, there's a, it's an evening game, but on his birthday, it's December 27th. The Islanders are playing that night. So I haven't told him yet, but I'm going to bring him and I'll get his name on the board and we'll do all that. But yeah, nice. I mean, he loves bobbleheads. You know, he's, when, you know, I'm a big Islanders, Mets, Jets guy. And I think he'll probably, I mean, it's unfortunate that I'm passing this down to him. It's, you know, I'm basically giving him years of torture, but
we all feel like that. Yeah.
as far as he's concerned, the Islanders are very good. Cause think about it, you know, he's 4 years old and they've made the playoffs 3 out of his 4 years, 2 of which went to the Eastern Conference Finals. So like, even the Mets, you know, 2 years ago, they were in the wild card. This year they didn't make it. And I had to explain to him what that meant, that they're not in the playoffs. No. So, you know, to him, the Islanders are really good. Because for his age, they have been.
That's so funny. That's great. Yeah. Well, when he, that day when he finds out, yeah, maybe they're not so good this year or ever any year, will be a huge moment for him. Hopefully you cover that on the podcast. That'll be a lot of fun.
That's like, we have the, what is it? The like ABC's hockey book. I have it for like every sport and it has all the players. And finally we read it almost, I don't know, every other night or whatnot. And finally he's like, "Daddy, why aren't there any Islanders in this?" And like, he wasn't understanding. And then I said, "Well, it's Zdeno Chara. You know, he was drafted by the Islanders and he ended his career on the Islanders. So now like Zdeno Chara is now his favorite because he's in that book and he doesn't understand why everybody else in that book is on the Montreal Canadiens or is on the Detroit Red Wings." Like, I mean, I don't understand. You're telling me that B couldn't have been for Bossy or P couldn't have been for Potvin. Like, I find it hard to believe that they had a dynasty and not one of them could have fit into the alphabet. But I guess, you know, I didn't write the book.
Yeah. comes with the territory when you're an Islanders fan. But I remember having, being in a, not kind of a, it might've been a Modell's. I'm not even sure. My daughter was like, "Oh, they have all this sports stuff. I don't see any Islanders stuff here." And I'm like, "Yeah, don't even bother looking for this. Like, you're never going to find it here." That's just how it is with this team. You got to really, you have to know where to get it, which is how it works.
The black market.
Underground
material.
Yeah. or just get spammed by Isles Lab all the time on Instagram. Every other ad I get now is either like 47 brand. It's every sports brand, and like I'm the biggest sucker. I'm actually buying so many Islander and Mets hats lately, like as if they're going out of, like, I don't even know why, but I just, every other scroll I get them and I'm like, "That's a cool one." And now I'm just buying a bunch of Islander and Mets hats. But I have some pretty cool swag.
Yeah. I actually showed my wife an Isles Lab jacket. It was like the new fisherman. So the dark blue, that new fisherman logo with like a button down, like sort of satin jacket. So like 80s style. And it's only $150, which is for Isles Lab is pretty good. Like that's actually a pretty good price.
Clearance.
Yeah, exactly. But I told
it happens to be a cool piece. I saw that one. It happens to be, it's a cool piece. I didn't pull trigger on it though. Yeah.
No, neither did I. Maybe for Christmas. We'll see. But I go to flea markets a lot and I always tell her, like, if I ever come across a vintage actual Islanders satin jacket from the 80s, I will quit going to the flea market because I will have reached the mountaintop. There's nothing else better than that. So forget it. But we're here to talk about a guy who most definitely did not reach the mountaintop with the Islanders or any mountaintop. But anyway, although maybe there was one in his hometown, which we'll talk about, which actually plays a big part in his story. And so without any further ado, Tyler Gildon, will you please reveal the subject of tonight's episode of Weird Islanders, the podcast?
Hailing from Denmark, Peter Regan.
Not only Denmark, Herning, Denmark. Very important town in the history of the NHL, which we'll cover extensively. Before that, reminder that we are on Patreon, patreon.com/IslandersAnxiety. Plans start as low as $2 a month. You can get ad-free episodes of this show, plus bonus podcasts, discount codes, written posts, and a whole lot more. So sign up today, patreon.com/IslandersAnxiety. Okay, we always begin, or mostly begin, with the obvious question. Out of that whole list that we showed you, why did Peter Regan jump out to you as a Weird Islander to discuss?
I just find he epitomizes so much of what the Islanders offseason acquisitions have been throughout my lifetime. You know, he's in that exact same world of the like Nikita Shashkinovs and the Kunakles. I mean, he's somebody, or even like Nikolai Kuhlman. Like, he's basically someone who like we're taking a pass on because maybe he had untapped potential from somewhere else, right, and has a close relationship with somebody on the team. Like, that's pretty much like he was basically brought to us as, hey, Franz is from Denmark. This is Franz's good friend from Denmark. Mm. He must be an Islander. Like, that's how I felt the approach was.
Yeah. And so that offseason, the Islanders are coming off of that, I don't want to say unlucky, but well-played 6-game series loss to the Penguins. So much, they built up a lot of goodwill. They made the trade, too, right after that at the draft for Cal Clutterbuck. They traded Niederreiter, and they brought in Clutterbuck. And you're thinking, all right, this team, like, they're going for it. They might, you know, give this a real shot. Then they come into the season outside of Clutterbuck, and their acquisitions were Kevin Churchman.
NCAA free agent Kevin Churchman.
Yeah. 2 years, $2.7 million entry level contract for Churchman. So good for him. Pierre-Marc Bouchard and Peter Regan. So and that was to offset like Jesse Joensuu left, Brad Boyes left, Keith O'Coin left. So you have this great season. The team is seemingly heading in the right direction. And this is how you consolidate it. You bring in, I was excited about Pierre-Marc Bouchard. And I'm sure I found a way to be excited about Peter Regan, but this is how you're going to kind of consolidate that great season by bringing in these guys. That's like we said, low bar, I think is the theme of this episode, and it never got met.
Yeah. The thing that unites all of those players that you mentioned was that none of them are goalies, which was the big problem that year. As we've said many times, ending up getting Nabokov in that 2013 lockout shortened season emptied his tank to get the Islanders into the playoff. And God bless him. And once I got there, he was on fumes. Maybe not even fumes. Maybe fumes of fumes, right? But by the next season, he was cooked. And he was but they brought him back. They couldn't get another goalie. He was the starter. I forget if that was the Chad Johnson.
Pullen and Nilsson.
Yeah.
So it was, the goaltending was a problem that year. And it wasn't rectified in the offseason. It wasn't rectified during the season. That was the year that the Islanders made the big trade for Thomas Vanek. I have said before, and I'll say it again, I've always maintained that Garth Snow wanted to take Vanek and Ryan Miller, and Miller just either didn't want to come or they couldn't make the trade work. And in any event, well, they had to ride with Nabby the whole season, and it did not work out very well. But we did have Peter Regan, and we did have Pierre-Marc Bouchard. And so Regan is an interesting guy because he had played with Ottawa for 5 years, and he had one great year. Well, one good year, I should say. 13 goals, 29 points in 75 games. You know, he was a decent bottom of the lineup guy. I think they might have gone on a long playoff run with him, or a playoff run, 6 games. So, like, he had this resume of being like a decent bottom of the lineup guy, but he couldn't stay healthy. And he just, you know, he played 10 games 1 year, 27 the year just before he came over to the Islanders. But Tyler, like you said, he did have one overwhelming characteristic that the Islanders simply could not ignore. And that is that he was good friends with and from the same hometown as Franz Nielsen, who was one of the Islanders' better players. So, like, they signed this guy. You've probably barely heard of him. Even if you had, you're like, oh, yeah, he's a guy who played with Ottawa. But they're signing him because he's a friend of a guy. That's his one qualification for being on the team, friend of a guy. What is going through your mind at the time? Like, this is it?
Yes. Yeah, it is a good guy.
You know, this is our guy, you know,
right.
This is our shootout guy. But yeah, I mean, I remember literally making the joke to my friend, like, all right, so, like, he took a bath with Franz Nielsen, and now they should share a locker room too. Like, I, yeah. I, you know, like, but being the unfortunately, trying to be optimistic Islander fan, was trying to convince myself that like this was going to be a diamond in the rough.
Right.
You know, this was going to be this steal. Like, you know, they know something that his stats aren't showing us, and Franz is going to unlock this. How much fun they're going to have together! I don't even think they ended up playing like too many minutes together. I think they weren't even on the same line after like the first couple of games. Like, it wasn't even working. But we were like, oh, Franz, you know, Franz's backhand, maybe this guy will be the forehand to his backhand, and whoa, this is going to be like the best thing to ever happen, you know, out of Denmark. And it just, you know, what do you end up playing? 44 games?
Yeah, 44 games.
And his, so I was at the home opener, and I saw Arthur Staple in the concourse, and he was talking about how he was doing the story on the fourth line with Clutterbuck and Martin Tsitsikas, and part of the article was about if they could remember their first shift together. And because if you remember, they brought in Clutterbuck, and they're like, this, and it made sense at the time. Like, this guy's going to be a middle sixer, maybe a second liner. Him and Tavares knew each other going back a little ways. Like, he could have some offensive upside and be the kind of banger on a, you know, the Kyle Palmieri type on a second or third line. So Staple asked, you know, if he remembered, and Clutterbuck was like, no, I didn't play with them right out of the gates, actually. And he told two anecdotes. First of all, he's like, I assisted on Brock Nelson's first career goal. And then he's like, yeah, I don't know if I assisted on another one for Brock ever since. And it's so funny to think it's probably true, because like, I can't even picture those two guys on the ice together. And then the other thing he said was that his first shift and his first training camp with the Islanders, his line was with his former Wild teammate, Pierre-Marc Bouchard, which makes sense, and Peter Regan. So it was Peter Regan, Pierre-Marc Bouchard, and Cal Clutterbuck. As a line, and I mean, that is a Franken line. I don't even know where to begin there. So he wasn't even playing with Franz. And I think it's funny, because a lot of, you know, NHL teams, a good example is this season with the Avalanche. They brought in Jonathan Drouin because he's friends with Nathan MacKinnon. And a lot of times you'll hear these stories of a star player in a certain market, maybe pushing for a guy to come in, be brought along. And a lot of times it's like Sidney Crosby wanted this guy, whatever. And who knows if it's, you know, typical like hockey media fan fiction or for real, but for the Islanders, the only instance I've ever heard of this was with Tavares and Brad Boys and Franz Nielsen and Peter Regan. Which is just like those are the friend guys that we brought in but as Tyler said, like, Franz was such a good guy. I they could have, if he wanted to sign, you know, a 38-year-old dude from like the second division of the Danish professional league, I would have been like, yeah, absolutely. If it makes Franz happy, yeah, I'm fine with that.
Yeah, and I'm with you, Tyler. Like, I thought this guy, you know, I looked at his background, his, you know, kind of meh numbers. Our friend Garrick wrote a whole thing at Lighthouse Hockey about it, you know, saying like, you know, there's nothing really that's great about this guy, and he's been hurt all the time, but A, he cost them nothing, and B, he knows like the guy who's, you know, one of their second best player or one of their better players. So maybe this will be the thing that unlocks him, and it turns him from a, you know, decent sort of useful bottom of the lineup guy who's always hurt to maybe a middle of the lineup guy who hopefully is more healthy, right? Because maybe if change of scenery, he gets out of Ottawa, maybe things are a little bit different. You know, Sens fans were just like, yeah, this guy's always hurt, whatever. And you brought up Keith Acoin before, Mike. And yeah, that's like, that was a huge thing. Him leaving, you know, we're going to do an episode one day on Keith Acoin, and he's got to be one of the most valuable weird Islanders that have ever been.
Yeah, pound for pound, right?
Like, yeah, seriously.
He played maybe 38 games. I don't even know if that, but...
Just that half season.
The fact that the Islander, like, there was a Keith Acoin-sized hole on a team that needed to be addressed is it's a big problem.
Thank God it wasn't a Jesse Joensuu-sized hole, because I don't think Peter Regan would have filled that, because Jesse was a big boy, and Peter Regan was definitely not. But Dom had an article at Lighthouse Hockey, and Regan even said, there's been talk of me playing second line role for the past 2 years. I've run into some bad luck every time. I've got the opportunity, and sometimes I haven't produced when I've gotten the chance. So it's not just injuries. I feel like I have decent skill to play on the second or third line and be secondhand scoring. And I was like, okay, yeah, maybe this is the guy. Play with your buddy, see what happens. But yeah, didn't really work out that way. There was a cool interview I found, though, with Nilsson and Regan talking about how excited they were to play for the Islanders.
Friends, welcoming Peter to the Islanders must have been a great feeling. What kind of advice have you offered in order to ease Peter's arrival on the island?
Not that many yet. I mean, he's going to fit in just fine here. I know how talented he is. He's going to be perfect for the kind of game we're playing there, the system we have. So, you know, I mean, of course, I told him we got some great guys in the room there, and, you know, it's a lot of fun, and, you know, he's gonna be just fine when he gets there.
And Peter, talks between various teams and your agent started on July 3rd, and your contract was signed with the Islanders on the 4th. That was pretty fast, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was signed on the 5th when free agency opened. I talked to them on the 4th, actually, the first time, and we had a good talk, and my agent called me on the 5th just before before it opened, and he said that we had to make a quick decision, that they came up with an offer, and I said, well, let's take it right away. That was my first priority, number one priority, to go there even before free agency started. I talked to France a little bit, and that was I think it's a good fit for me coming back from a couple of tough years to get a chance and hopefully get a good chance at getting some ice time and playing for a good team who's up and coming. So I'm really looking forward to it, and I'm excited about the opportunity.
But it's funny because, like you said, they didn't really play on a line together. But 3 games into his Islanders career, he scores his first goal as an Islander. It was against the Coyotes in a 6-1 win. And it was a nice goal. He made it look really easy. Like, he just sort of strided in and scored.
You know, there's nobody pats you on the back all that often just because you're Czech. But it's very rewarding, and you've heard the expression, defense wins championships.
Here's Regan for the Islanders, closing and shooting. He scores! His first goal, his first point as a New York Islander, Peter Regan, gives the Islanders a 1-0 lead.
In another turnover by the Coyotes just inside the blue line, Peter Regan and Bouchard have a quick opportunity on the 2-on-1. Again, there's Larson, kind of not a very good pass off of Mahalik. And Regan takes a look and then decides, I haven't anything else to do, so he goes high on the glove side. Great opportunity for the Islanders. And watch Bouchard, he falls, but he gets up, goes to the net, and look how deep Mike Smith is in his net. And that's the smart thing to do. When you see a goalie that deep, get the puck up high, even though he's a big goaltender. Super shot by Peter Regan.
I mean, Tyler, do you have any recollection of this goal or this game whatsoever? Because I was watching, I'm like, damn, no wonder I was excited about this guy. He made this look really, really easy. He just strode in and scored. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, no, I watched the goal also. I honestly don't remember. I really don't remember much from him at all, because he really was a non-factor. I mean, he was just more of, I mean, when I think about him, I mean, I'm looking now, the fact that after that season, and yeah, they lost to the Penguins in the playoffs, but there was a lot of heart, and you felt like we were going to take the next step, and you were all excited, and that their acquisitions, of Pierre-Marc Bouchard and Peter Regan, combined for 6 goals. Like, they combined for 6 goals. Like, I mean, what kind of offseason is that? Like, we're trying to take the next step here. Yeah. We're trying to come back to the playoffs, and your offseason acquisitions combined for 6 goals. And I'm sure we'll get to it in a bit, but my favorite part is then they both got traded together to Chicago.
Yeah.
So this didn't work. This is a package deal. This is this didn't work offseason acquisition. You could just have them. Like, I just think that will always be synonymous. Honestly, this episode should almost be both of them, because I know it's him and Franz are a pair, but to me, like, him and Pierre-Marc Bouchard are also like a pair, because it was just like, this, we didn't even try this year. Like, we didn't even try to capitalize on the previous year. Like, that was our offseason.
Well, I think this was Garth's kind of his MO was that he would maybe get too cute one off season.
100%.
The off season previous this one was good. The boy signing was good. Kind of just made like the right moves, advancing players like Ullstrom and even like someone like Colin McDonald. And you know, for as much of a joke as Brian Strait became, he was important to that team.
I mean, he signed Boys and Acoin. Like, those two guys O'Coin, were instrumental that year, yeah.
Brought in Lubo. Like, that was a great offseason for Snow. Then he has a terrible one in this this offseason with the Peter Egan, Pierre-Marc Bouchard offseason. And then the following one was Halak and Letty and Boychuk. So it was probably his best one ever.
Grabowski and Kuhlman that year, too.
Yeah. Just like maybe one of the best offseasons, pound for pound, that any GM's had in the cap era. But yeah, like he kind of got, we would get too cute, and that was always his problem. Like when he would make bad moves, it was because he thought that his ability to unearth the Keith O'Coins or Matt Molson's, like he could just do that, and every time he found a guy,
exactly,
a diamond in the rough. It was like Pierre-Marc Bouchard and Peter Regan were just gonna walk in, and I guess we were kind of convinced, like, those two guys, Marty Reasoner, like, oh yeah, they're going to walk in here and they're just going to contribute 15 goals. Cause anytime Garth gets a guy like this, they play over their head or over their expectations. And yeah, no, these two guys, not only just like the 6 goals between them, 2 for Regan and 4 for Bouchard, but 16 points, like between two guys who are supposed to, I mean, and Bouchard had a really good NHL career. Like, he was a good player. So between two guys that should have sleptwalked to 20 points, this was, I mean, it's really, really hard to be a cataclysmic failure when you were signed to like a 1-year veteran minimum deal.
Right.
But Peter Regan, his Islander tenure somehow, found its way to doing that. Although it must be noted, he is one of the Adventureland All-Stars, because if you go to his Wikipedia page, not only do they have the picture of him, but it's got a caption. He's wearing a Yankee hat. He's got the sunglasses on the bill, and it says Regan in October 2013 with the New York Islanders at Adventureland.
That's incredible. That's incredible.
I mean, if you were stood on the line to meet Peter Regan at Adventureland in the summer of 2013, you're a better fan than we are. I can tell you that right now. But yeah, so he, you know, you're right, Tyler. Like, this guy, I'm looking at his numbers. So he ends up with, again, 44 games. We'll talk about the end in a second. 44 games, 2 goals, 5 assists, 7 points, right? Now, that is in 44 games, you had 7 points. That's nothing. As easy as he made it look in scoring that first goal 3 games into the season in October, he wouldn't get another one until January. Like, he would go months before getting another goal. And so he's one of the few guys we've talked about on this show that we have all of their Islanders goals captured for posterity on YouTube. And so his other goal was against, I want to say, it was Dallas.
Nielsen. Yeah, great play there by Thomas Hickey. You win the faceoff back there. A lot of times his time and space down the side of the boards towards the net. Thomas Hickey took advantage of it.
Here's Bailey shooting it off a leg. Gets it again. Put it out in front. Regan scores! And the Islanders lead it 3-2.
Well, there's a happy camper. Peter Regan hasn't scored in I don't know how long. Way back in Phoenix in the first week, so he's been trying to find ways to get goals. He's been begging, would steal one if he could, but he's continued to work hard. Well, that's one thing I will say about Peter Regan. You know, playing the fourth line or the third line doesn't matter. He's continued to work hard, but this is a great play by John Bayless. He stays with him. Again, he keeps the feet moving and is able to lay a perfect pass on Regan, who gets into the opening. Talk about a couple of guys, you know, getting some offense done. Bailey happy for Regan. You can watch Josh Bailey's. He keeps himself moving, and Regan right in the perfect position. So big goal for the Islanders.
October the 8th. Last time Regan had scored 33 games.
And I don't know. I don't know if relief even makes sense, because at that point, like, he's got to know. Man, I can't. They're probably not going to keep me on this team. It's crazy, but it's just funny to me that he went from scoring a goal on October 8th, and then he didn't score again until January 6th. Like, that's a long, what, 3 full months without scoring a goal. But not only that, it's one thing to have like a bad scoring season, but he was a minus 10, which, you know, okay, fine, it's a bad stat, but like that just shows that you know, were on the ice for 10 goals against, basically, or more. And he only had 18 penalty minutes. So like, what was he doing out there? Like, I don't know.
what was he doing?
Right. What are you doing? This whole line is like, what are you doing?
Tyler
out there?
Said, like, he's got no memory of playing.
Right.
Maybe he just did it. Right. I don't know.
So funny. Yeah. But somehow he averaged 12 minutes a game. That's it. For 12 minutes, he just didn't do anything. It's just so funny. When I ask this question, like, do you remember? I never expect people to have an answer because I wouldn't remember. And this guy is definitely one of the least memorable Islanders we've ever had, aside from his story of coming here. Because again, they were from the same hometown, which is kind of, you know, crazy thing that this hometown produced, Herning, Denmark, has produced 5 NHL players. And there's a movie about it called The Hockey Miracle in the Middle of Nowhere. You can actually rent on Apple TV. And Peter Regan is in there. And I wonder if he talks about his Islanders tenure. So
It's a very quick portion of the documentary, I would assume.
Ended up on the cutting room floor. So 44 games. All right. So let's actually, we'll work in Bouchard, although we reserve the right to do an episode on Bouchard alone. But Bouchard was eventually sent to Bridgeport after 28 games because they had to, I guess, send a message. And he was the message guy, right? So he ended up going down to Bridgeport. But Regan was here the whole time. Probably, again, stop us if you heard this before, he's friends with Franz Nielsen. So he ain't going to Bridgeport. He's staying. But after 44 games, season's going nowhere. He's trying to sign Vanek. That's a whole disaster. We did a whole episode on Thomas Vanek. Gartner decides to pull the trigger on Peter Regan and pull the shoot on this whole experiment. So he decides to trade Peter Regan and Pierre-Marc Bouchard to the Chicago Blackhawks for a 4th-round draft pick. Now, before we go any further, Tyler, you had no idea what was going to happen to this draft pick when you picked Peter Regan. Is that true?
It is entirely true. You have done your research here, and you have wowed me. So please wow the people at how impactful, especially in the state of New York, how impactful ultimately this trade ended up becoming.
It's haunting. Like if you want to stop listening now, I don't blame you. It's not good.
Well, as I always say, here at Weird Islanders, the podcast, we spare no expense to bring you only the best. And so I found this out too. And we started talking about this. I was like, I can't believe this. So that 4th-round pick, now Peter Regan ended up going into the playoffs with the Blackhawks that year. And the Islanders got a 4th-round pick. Now, some of you may remember that 4th-round pick was traded to Washington for the rights to a man Mike mentioned before, Yaroslav Halak, who ended up signing with the Islanders. That was a snow gambit that actually worked. You know, he traded for Halak's rights, signed him, and Yaro provided the Islanders with pretty solid goaltending for a couple of seasons. That pick that the Caps got for Halak, they ended up trading to the Rangers in a swap for a 3rd-round pick at the draft. So the Rangers have this Caps 4th-round pick. This is the bad part, so brace yourself. The Rangers, in the 2014 draft, used that 4th-round pick to take a young goaltender out of Russia named Igor Shesterkin. And no, I'm not kidding you. This is documented. You could look this up. Somehow, one 44-game season of Peter Regan, and I guess 28 games of Pierre-Marc Bouchard, ended up with the Rangers drafting Igor Shesterkin, their Vezina Trophy-winning starting goaltender.
Nothing's more Islanders than that, is it? Huh?
You got it, pal. That is mind-boggling. That is absolutely mind-boggling.
I knew we were going to talk about this, but just hearing you go step by step, like I have a pit. I just have a pit in my stomach. It's.
I've been laughing about this for 2 days. Like,
yeah, exactly. I was just about to say, something that I'm going to wake up tomorrow, and you know how sometimes you just wake up and you're just in a bad mood, or you're grumpy, or you're pissed off, right, and you have no idea why.
Yeah,
it's going to be because of this. Like, it's so hard. It's so hard to come to grips with this.
Right.
It'd be so hard you need to buy like a 6-pack to a specific kind of therapist. And when they say, where do you want to start? And you say, okay, well, I'm going to start in the summer of 2013. The Islanders had a great season. And I'm also going to tell you where we end, and where we end is present day. And you're going to be talking about how dismal Peter Regan's Islander career was, how unforgettable, like dismal isn't even the right word. It was just completely unremarkable. And
yeah,
how that unremarkable signing ends up giving the Rangers their second generational goalie in as many generations.
It's absurd. So like we're sitting here talking about this sort of goofball signing that, you know, oh, it's funny, this guy was friends with Franz Nielsen, but like, Tyler, does this completely reach color the this entire Peter Regan history for you? Like we talk about, you know, the Tavares goal and the Islanders, I should say, winning that playoff series against the Panthers has gotten completely recolored since John Tavares walked away. This has to completely change how you feel about Peter Regan, right? Knowing that this man ended up getting traded for the pick that used on a goalie that is still haunting the Islanders to this day. That's absurd, because it has for me. I'm like, I can't even look at this guy now. I don't even know what to do with it.
I mean, we should have never traded Peter Regan. We should have kept him. I mean, it's clear we should have kept this guy. This guy should have been on the team. He should still be on the team. We should have kept him forever. How did we ever get rid of this guy? We would have known we were trading him. What would have turned into? I mean, come on, Garth. You should have. I mean, he only played 44 games. He deserved the rest of the season.
That is one thing I'm pretty sure we've never heard on this show before. You should have kept him.
I'm so mad.
Yeah,
about this. Like this is. There was a thing that happened during the Rangers run to the Eastern Conference Final, where Andrew Gross just completely jinxed the Penguins and reverse jinxed Igor Shesterkin on there, and I am still to this day like unreasonably mad at Andrew Gross for it. And now I'm just unreasonably mad at, and it's not like his doing that had anything to do with the Rangers doing that. But I feel the same way now towards Gar Snow. And if I ever had to explain it to him, just like to Andrew Gross, I would look psychotic. I'd be like, why are you being such a douche to me? Be like, well, you traded Peter Regan and Pierre-Marc Bouchard for a fourth round pick that eventually turned into Igor Shesterkin. Like you didn't even need to sign these guys. Yeah. If you had just not signed them,
right,
we would have been fine. You could have given Washington a different fourth round pick, maybe a year later for Yarrow. Like I'm so mad about this. It the fact that his career was so unremarkable is what's really getting me. And it's not that I'm mad that he didn't play well. I'm mad that nothingness blossomed into the Rangers having one of the best goalies in the world. It's hard to explain.
It's almost like it should be one of the, like when they do like the worst worst signings in New York. Honestly, like this is probably worse than Andrew Ladd at this point. I really think so.
Like Ladd was just here and then gone, and like, you know, he did whatever he did or didn't do.
But
he
cost a lot of money, and he also was after a big playoff win. Yep. We were trying to take the next step, and he fell on his face. Garth was not very good at capitalizing, by the way. After playoff, the occasional playoff series, he was not very good at capitalizing the next offseason.
Right. The one time they made the playoffs back-to-back years was 15 and then 16. Obviously, they won that round. But, like, the big thing was Thomas Greiss. And he's again, you talk about guys that work. He's one that worked. I remember signing him and being like, oh, yeah, I've heard of him, maybe. And he ends up, by the end of the season, he's, like, the starting goalie. And he's a brick wall against the Panthers. That came out of nowhere. But it was like, oh, yeah, okay. At first, it was like, yeah, I guess so. But then he ends up, becoming this part of Islanders history. This is a whole other thing. And again, this is just, again, folks, I'm not making this up. Go look it up. This is I didn't even know that. I remember the pick going to the Caps for Halak thinking at the time, like, oh, actually, okay, well, you know what? That's a way to make, chicken salad out of chicken shit, I guess, right? Like, these two guys bombed, but at least you got a good starting goalie out of it. But now this ruins that too.
Yeah, it ruins everything. Ruins everything.
It's insane. Oh my God. Anyway, Peter Regan. So he played 17 games for Chicago that year. He played a couple the next year. He played mostly in Rockford. after that. And then he signed with Jokerit of the KHL. And he was there from 2015-16 to 2020-21. So a number of seasons there. And again, he was a mostly useful player. And then he was hurt. And then he was okay. And then he was hurt. And then he played a year in the Swiss League. And then he played for the Berlin Polar Bears, who... Weren't we just talking about the Berlin Polar Bears? What were we just talking about? I don't know.
We were talking about the Easterlohn Roosters. That's where Michael Del Col is.
Yes. Okay. There you go.
After he only scored like four goals in like 60 games for TPS in Liga. So his scoring issues have followed him across the pond.
So, and Peter Regan is there now. He's way down on the depth chart. He only has 8 points this year. But so maybe Del Col and Regan have crossed paths in the German league. How about that?
That's incredible that he's still playing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's and that team has an awesome logo.
Yeah.
That just like it looks like the polar bear is kind of just drawn on by like a pencil or something. I remember Tristan, who's an overseas listener from England, tweeted at us during the World Championships a couple years ago that Great Britain was playing Denmark and Peter Regan had like a hat trick or something against them. And he's still got it, I guess. He's still got it.
Still got something.
Never
you think, him and Franz are still constantly hanging out? You think that's still a thing? Franz is the assistant coach on that team?
Yeah, I'm sure. There.
Let's see. I don't know. Well, Franz. Remember, Franz was in the NHL only a couple of years ago. So I don't know.
Yeah, he's with Seattle now. He's with Jeff Tambellini.
Right. That's right.
And Jeff Tambellini are like running the player development for the Kraken. I'm sure that once Regan decides to hang up the skates, he'll join the Kraken and all the geniuses in that front office.
I'm sure they have a group chat, much like Mike and I have a group chat, which is like, can you believe this guy's playing for the Berlin Polar Bears of the German league. But yeah, so he was playing up to this season. He's 37. So, hey, you know what? Even though he did absolutely nothing as an Islander and his trade ended up giving the Islanders a nemesis although in fairness, we should mention that Igor Shesterkin is best friends. This whole episode has been about guys who are friends with guys.
Yes.
So it should be noted that Igor Shesterkin, although he plays for the Hated Rangers, is best buds with our best bud, Ilya Sorokin. So I guess maybe he's not that bad a guy, even though we all hate him. And he wouldn't be here if not for Peter goddamn Regan. Oh my God. And this whole stupid thing. But it's pretty amazing. So, I don't know. What else is there to say about Peter Regan's 40? Oh, that was the other surprising thing. This dude played 44 games. I thought it was way less than that. I thought this trade happened maybe 30 games into the season. I didn't realize that half a season with this guy.
I remember Bouchard getting sent down and being like, what the hell is Pierre-Marc Bouchard going to do in Bridgeport? Like, in the AHL, this guy, like we said, had a decent NHL career, is probably coming to the Islanders as a Brad Boyce type move. And it just flopped so miserably, and he got stapled. Pierre-Marc Bouchard's NHL career ended with him being stapled to the hip of Peter Regan, basically. Like, this is it's not Shakespearean, because in Shakespeare plays, stuff happens, right? Like, the middle is there's stuff happening in the middle.
Yeah, there's no synopsis here. There is nothing. There's no.
There's just
There's just story. Nothing happens. Yeah. Where's the plot?
It's just a bad ending. Yeah. What I don't know what like a tragic. There's just a tragic ending here where the bad guys win. Nothing happens. The bad guys win. That's what happened here.
I just imagine these two guys, who I'm assuming did not know each other at all before coming to the Islanders, on a plane to Chicago, looking at each other like, can you believe what has happened to us in these last few months? Like you said, we're now tied together. And I think they probably subconsciously understood that we are forever tied together on hockeyreference.com, you know, like we're, and, but like, we didn't know, they didn't know each other. They're two, you know, one guy's a French Canadian guy. Another guy's from Denmark. They, one guy is from, played in Minnesota. The other guy played in Ottawa. Like, they didn't know each other at all. And now they are forever linked in the history of this one season of this very strange team. It's absurd. And yeah.
Crazy is looking at how many current Islanders were on that team. I mean, that's another thing about the Islanders. I would put this up against any other team, and I could be wrong, but I don't think I am. There's no way any other team currently has as many players on the roster now as they had in 2013, 2014.
Yeah.
Like, it's actually insane. Like, so you got Brock Nelson was on that roster. Cal Clutterbuck was on that roster. Cizikas was on that roster. Martin was on that roster. Lee was on that roster. So that's five. Scott Mayfield was on that roster for a bit. That's six guys. You had Pulak in the minors. I'm going to call that seven.
And right. Bailey.
Bailey, who pretty much almost, you could say Bailey. You have Thomas Hickey, who's now MSG. I mean, I just feel like the amount of guys still connect. It's crazy. What other team can you tell me has legitimately six players still on their team from a decade ago?
Yeah, it's
crazy.
This is a common theme, I think, with this iteration of the Islanders. And people will say, oh, what about the Kings? Like Drew Doughty, Andre Kopitar. And be like, okay, and?
Yeah.
That's two.
Right.
That's two. And by the way, those guys won three Stanley Cups and are probably Hall of Famers. Like, we're talking Scott Mayfield's here.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, we're talking about our fourth line. The fourth line was literally a decade ago. It's insane. When you look at the numbers and you literally look at this is the 2013, 2014 roster, I can easily slip up and think that says 2023, 2024. And it doesn't. Yeah. That's insane. So
right.
No, but it's...
And, you know, that brings up a good thing, a good point. Like, I would love to ask what Anders Lee thinks about Peter Regan.
100%.
Not that I think that they're going to, like, trash them or anything, but, like, I wonder what his take on this is. Like, yeah, they were nice guys, but, man, they were a little lost. There's not, like, I don't even know. Maybe they were hurt. Like, I don't even know. But, like...
probably has an opinion on Bouchard. Like, he's a Minnesota guy. Bouchard was probably... Yeah. He probably watched him play a lot. Sure. But now he's playing with him. And then all of a sudden,
Clutterbuck definitely played with
Clutterbuck. Yeah, it's like, yeah, but it is this taking this season's roster and then just looking at the 2013-14 roster. And I really want to sit down with people in the media and just say, I just want you to look at these names and then look at this roster. I'm going to cover up the years. I'm going to say, what year do you think that is? There's six Islanders on this team that are still on the team. Like, what year do you think that is? I'll probably say, like, I don't know, 2017?
100%. No, they would say that. They say 2017, 2018. Nobody, nobody would say, can we do the research? I feel like you could do the research here, Mike. Like, I really want to know, is there any other team that has this many guys a decade ago still on their roster? No way.
Back of the napkin math, like, I would say it's not even close. Like, the Kings and the Lightning... would be the closest.
I was going to say like Ovechkin, Backstrom,
Carlson
maybe, at Alsner. So, yeah, but I don't even know if they go back that far.
They do. And then Alsner's
Crosby.
Been gone for a while. Like,
you can say, you know.
Yeah, Crosby, Malkin, Letang. Yeah. Right.
That's but three.
The rest of them, yeah. I mean, there's nobody else.
Think about the names you just listed.
Like, yeah,
every right, one Hall of those Famers. Guys yeah, are, exactly. are Hall
right.
of Famers.
Yeah, you would never let those guys right. You would never let those guys go, and they've all won cups. Everybody we've named has won a cup,
except our guys. Exactly. Oh man, I hadn't even thought about that. Holy crap!
Just think about it. It's so funny because I don't even know how to describe it. But basically, the reason they get guys like Pierre-Marc Bouchard and Peter Regan is because the Islanders can never get free agents. They just can never get them. But then they can never get them to leave. Like, why? It's so ironic that nobody wants to come, but when they come, nobody wants to leave. Why doesn't that point out? Like, why don't free agents realize that? Like, oh, look at this roster. These guys have been there for a decade. They're happy. Or maybe they're just like, these guys are complacent. I don't know.
That is the forever paradox of the New York Islanders, is that nobody wants to come, and then they never want to leave. And this has been going on for 51 years. Like, you know, I mean, Drouin and JP Parisi didn't want to come here when they got traded. And then they didn't want to leave. They cried when they left. Al Arbor didn't want to come here. And then he was the coach forever. and is in the rafters. So it's just, it's so funny that that this continues to happen to this day. And you could just throw Peter Regan on the list. I mean, just, he shouldn't be on a list with Al Arbor, but he kind of is in a really strange way. It's very strange, though. This has been so much fun. And Tyler, it's been so great to have you on. Again, your portfolio at Gildan Media is incredible. You've got films and documentaries and commercials. Your movie, The Starfish, is available on Amazon. Is that true?
Yeah, it's on Amazon. It's on Apple TV. I appreciate you guys having me on, because I really enjoyed the podcast. I've told you guys I'm big fans, and yeah. I listen to, you know, I think, Mike, we must be, I think we're probably about the exact same age, because like we have the same experience in terms of, you know, I think Dan, you're a little older than we are. So yes. I'm 33.
Yeah. Yeah. Same age.
Okay, so
I am significantly older than you.
Sorry. So we have the same exact experience. So a lot of times I laugh at the things that you're saying and what was important to you, and because I'm so similar, because I have the exact same viewpoint, and maybe I'm not as extreme as you, but I definitely have my moments where I'm also like, why am I doing this to myself? But then I can't stop doing it to myself. And maybe it's just something about the time that we were born. Maybe there's something about that era of right after, you know, a few years removed from the dynasty, and I don't know, and those just dreadful 90s. Maybe being a kid in the 90s watching this team, it did something to us. I don't know.
I think it definitely did. And yeah, it's that we're the part of the generation of fans that just, we don't have any emotional connection to the dynasty. Like it's like, we have reverence and we understand like how incredible it was, but we weren't around, and we were also a little bit, we're like 6 years, 7 years afterwards. So it's not even like our older brothers or whatever were around either. Like there's just a gap. So it's hard to fathom, and we're left with Peter Regans and Pierre-Marc Bouchards and Mark Lawrences and stuff like that.
But these guys become these folk heroes, you know. That's why like a Mary Serkowski, my favorite player. Like, why is Mary Serkowski my favorite player? You know what I mean? Like, how many diehard hockey fans is would a guy like Mary Serkowski, you know, pretty much what a B level player, and like that's my favorite guy I named my hard drive after? Like, what the hell?
I mean, hey, listen, that guy had a run of 2-3 seasons where he was. Like he was the best player we saw. Like that was just amazing. It was post Palfi, pre Pekka, and there was Tchaikovsky, and he was dynamite. He was the best player on probably the worst team ever iced. But that was, however old you were at the time, that's the time that you got grabbed. And you know, you could do a lot worse than Tchaikovsky. Don't sell yourself short. That guy, or him. He was a good player.
I mean, listen, I'm looking at his stats now. I mean, the most he ever had was 70 points in a season, which is pretty good. But I mean, you know, when you talk about some of, you know, I'm sure we all have friends their players were these great players, and we just didn't have those. Like after Palfi, Serkowski or like Jason Blake, you know, which was like the epitome of an Islander fan, was like, you know, Jason Blake, the little engine that could, who, you know, defied all odds. And then like he had the weirdest like falling out with the Islanders. And like now I don't even know how I feel about Jason Blake, but he's one of my hard drives.
It's true. But you know, I mean, it is funny that we have now reached a place where the dynasty doesn't loom as large, you know. I mean, I don't know if it's just time or the fact that the team's been good again, you know, for a number of years, because it loomed large back then too. But I feel like, you know, for me, and I've talked about a lot, Mark Streit is one of my favorite Islanders of all time. And like to say that feels a little bit weird, because I mean, to me, I almost feel like he should still be playing. Like he's still a young man, right? I mean, he's probably younger than me. Like he should still be playing, but it feels weird to kind of throw him in with guys like, you know, Pat LaFontaine, who was my all-time favorite Islander. So, you know, it's good that time has marched on and we have moved on, and we can have different favorite players. But, I mean, I applaud you and I admire you that you've held on to your Tchaikovsky fandom this whole time. The man was an NHL All-Star. So, you know, there's somebody out there, Scott Lachance is his favorite hockey player too. And he was also an NHL All-Star. So there you go. So your podcast, Father Material, it's again about you, you know, helping raise your kids. Is that coming back soon? Because I mean, I want to check it out again. You had Jeff Marek on. That's more than we've ever had.
Jeff. I had Jeff on. Yeah, I'm actually in the process of about to gear up. I just have kind of Listen, I admire your guys' dedication to the podcast. You guys do a phenomenal year-round and have found ways to branch off. And maybe it's the fact that there's two of you guys. Maybe that makes it, makes it easier. Yes. But either way, yeah, no, I do want to bring it back. And yeah, I mean, to me, you know, having, you know, two young kids, and it started during the pandemic, and I just felt like so much of what I do, and whether it was, you know, a lot of what I used to do, not as much anymore, is stand up and just writing and producing was just weird hours all the time. And then just to have kids, which is also weird hours for things. And it's just like, how do you balance all of that? Because, you know, when you're a creative person, and I'm sure, you know, you guys can attest to this with you know, Islanders anxiety of like this being kind of your baby. So how do you balance your baby with actual living, breathing human babies? So that was kind of the whole impetus for the podcast, is just that, you know, how do you balance the two worlds? So it's been a lot of fun. I had a lot of really great conversations with a lot of different folks from different scopes of you know, the creative realm, of just, you know, the different ways, whether it's time management or it's just how their influence. Like, I feel, becoming a dad, I am a much more empathetic human being. And I just, you know, naturally I look at things, and I don't look at it just from a, you know, from an Islander fan lens. I look at it also from like a dad lens, and just how that impacts the type of creative endeavors and projects you want to do, because now you feel like, oh shit, some, you know, one day my kid's going to see this. So I want to put something out there that's actually important into the world versus just, you know, some, you know, slapdick something. So yeah, it's been, I mean, yeah, so it's been fun, and definitely plan to do more.
Oh great, I can't wait. Everybody should check it out. It's at fathermaterial.com. You could find it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, all that stuff. And no, I love to hear that, and yeah, I definitely can empathize with that. And I, you know, I've said to people, I feel 100 times more comfortable as myself as a husband and a father than I ever was as a single man. Sorry to tell that to all the single men out there. I hated it. I hated it every minute of it. And I wanted it to end. And I am going to forever be grateful for my wife and my daughter for letting me be me. And, you know, I am sitting in a room right now, literally covered wall to wall in action figures and Islander shit. And that they are cool with that, because that's who I am. Right. So, like, you know, if I love Spider-Man and the Golden Girls and the Islanders and the Beastie Boys, that's all me. And it's nice to be that and be what I want to be, as opposed to when you're young, when you're single and unattached, and you think you have to be somebody else because you're trying to be out there and, you know, kind of attract somebody. Just be yourself. That's my advice. No, I won't be starting a podcast for that stuff too, but this has been great. And where can everybody find you on Twitter also, Tyler? Let everybody know.
Just at Tyler Gildin, TylerGildin. I only spell it out because everyone thinks it's Gilden. It is not. It is an I. There are two I's on your face. There are two I's in my name. Get it right. I've been correcting people. I've got many awards throughout my life. I don't have many awards, but I've gotten things written with the wrong spelling. Even my kids have brought home. My kid once brought home spelling his own name at school and spelled his last name wrong. And I'm like, what is this teacher doing? Like, you just completely set my kid up to fail there. But yeah, funny. It's okay. I respond either way. And actually, if you... Yeah. I'm pretty sure if you type in Gildin Media, GILDEN.com, I bought that, and it links to Gildin Media with two eyes.
Smart.
So I'm on top of it. All right. I'm thinking about these things.
You are a very creative person. I like that. That's very good. I wish if I had to buy every podcast domain of my name being misspelled, I would be broke. So there you go.
I'm probably preaching to the wrong person. Yeah, I understand that now. I take it back. Yeah. I take it back.
No. That's great. I hear you. But no, that's very clever. But yeah, follow Tyler on Twitter. Listen to Father Material, and check out GildenMedia.com. There's all kinds of projects there. And so if you're looking to collaborate, let them know. I hope you've had a lot of fun. This has been great.
Thank you guys so much for having me on. I really do appreciate it. Like I said, it's a great podcast. I have a lot of fun listening. You guys, you don't take yourselves too seriously, but you do take it seriously. You're the perfect combination of not so serious but serious, and that's probably like should be your tagline somewhere. You know, I really do enjoy it. And no, thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Seriously unserious, I guess we'll call ourselves. Michael Leboff, where can everybody find you on Twitter?
The Big Lebowski with two E's.
Follow Mike on Twitter at The Big Lebowski. Read and listen to his work at Action Network. Any final thoughts on Peter Regan and his 44 completely worthless games as a New York Islander, or his trade to Chicago, which has gonna is gonna haunt the Islanders now for the rest of all of our lives.
Yeah. This is an episode that I thought was pretty straightforward when we had started to arrange it with Tyler. Peter Regan, pretty easy to make jokes about his 44 game Islander career, but they're not funny anymore.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. It's not, it used to be funny. Now it's not funny.
Not funny anymore.
Could you imagine if Igor Shesterkin's number was 44? Like if he just knew and he just played homage to that.
Oh man. He was taunting us. But I mean, if he's anything like his buddy Sorokin, he doesn't care. He doesn't know who Peter Regan is and he don't care. But we care. And like you said, we take this very seriously. And yeah, this is going to be a problem now, but we'll work through this together. We promise. Thank you all so much for listening. Sign up at patreon.com/IslandersAnxiety for ad-free episodes and bonus content. Follow us on Twitter at Isles Anxiety Pod. Leave us a review on Apple Podcasts and at Spotify. Our theme music is Knuckles by Bjorn Falk. Listen to more of Bjorn's music on Bandcamp and also at Spotify. And a reminder that our first ever live event will be Saturday, March 30th at 4 p.m. at the beautiful brand new Offsite Tavern in New York City. Around 4:45 or so, we'll start to record a live podcast that will be all about your Weird Islanders story. So bring your Weird Islanders jerseys, t-shirts, swag, whatever you got, because we want to hear about it. That is Saturday, March 30th at Offsite Tavern. Be there. It's going to be a great time. Read Lighthouse Hockey every single day. Islanders Anxiety Podcast are part of the Fans First Sports Network. Find more at fansfirstsports.com. Shop vintageicehockey.com. Try wines from the Pinot Project. We will talk to you again in a few weeks with another Weird Islander. And until then, keep the Islanders weird. We'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.